Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Going to start as a proud grandpa on Friday. My son Paul and his wife Krista gave birth to a beautiful new granddaughter named Magdalena, or Lena for short. So far, I've only seen pictures of her since she was born in Cincinnati, but I can tell you that she looks like she has Paul's head shape and nose and Krista's eyes. But I can tell you even more that in her grandpa's eyes, she is perfect. And yet in reality, Lena was born with a serious defect, not a physical one. And although you can't see it yet, it is there, for Lena is a sinner. She inherited sin from her first grandpa, Adam. And so even though she looks perfect to me, God's word tells us that Lena was born sinful and in need of forgiveness. If Lena is anything like her father, Paul, she will be very precocious and she will enter her terrible twos early, about 18 months, and then her sinfulness will begin to manifest itself in rather obvious ways. We know that Jesus died on the cross to forgive Magdalena's sins, and that he rose from the dead and became victorious over death. We know what Jesus did, but do we know how we come into possession of forgiveness and eternal life? Baptism. St. Paul says in our epistle lesson for today, and corresponding to this, referring to the ark that saved Noah, he says, baptism saves you. Because baptism incorporates you into Christ. Everything that Christ did for us by his dying and his rising now becomes ours in our baptism. If you look at this text from Peter, he talks about how Jesus would die in our place, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us back to God. You see, our lives become so intertwined with Christ's life in baptism that we share in his atoning death and in the resurrected life that he now lives. Mysteriously, all who have been baptized share then in the forgiveness of his cross and in the power of his resurrection. Just thought I'd warn you, next Sunday morning, I won't be here. Instead, Susan and I and most of our family will be at Paul's congregation for Lena's baptism. Now that Paul himself is a pastor, he has the joy and privilege of baptizing his own daughter. And he will pour water upon her head and say, Magdalena Susan Elliott, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And to the human eye and ear, that's all going to look and sound rather unspectacular. A few words combined with a little water. And yet, if we look at this event with eyes of faith, we are going to witness a remarkable moment in Lena's life. Perhaps the most important singular moment. For God is going to save her through this water just as Noah and his family were saved through water. God is going to pour out all of his blessings and all of the benefits of his son upon her in this baptismal washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Here is a list of but some of the benefits that Lena will be receiving in her baptism. These benefits will not come to her because Lena has been born into a family of Lutheran pastors and teachers. They will come to her through holy baptism as they would come to anyone else, entirely as a gift of God's great and undeserved love for us in Christ. In baptism, Lena will be adopted as a child of her heavenly Father, and she stands to inherit everything that belongs to him. Lena will be receiving the forgiveness of sins and new life in Christ, and the Holy Spirit living and working conversion and faith within her young heart. She will be granted peace with God through her Lord Jesus Christ and eternal life. In her baptism, Lena will be robed in the pure innocence of Christ, who alone is holy. In her baptismal life, Lena will wear this robe of Christ's righteousness, and it will daily cover any and all of her residual sinfulness. And so, as a result of her baptism into Christ, God will find no fault in her, and Lena will be able to stand before God with a clean conscience. She will become a citizen of heaven in the moment of her baptism, and she will be spared from God's wrath when it comes upon the world. Some will doubt that baptism can do all this for Lena or for anyone else. They will ask how an infant can believe in Christ or come to him. But we forget Jesus says, "No one can come to me, adult or infant, unless the Father draws him, and I will raise him up." A child can believe because conversion happens in the human will, not in the intellect. And so the Holy Spirit will first convert Lena's rebellious heart. He will turn her stubborn will back to God in baptism long before she is old enough to understand this or express any of this for herself in words of faith. Just before our resurrected Lord went back up into heaven, you'll remember he commissioned his church to baptize all nations in the name of the triune God and to teach them everything that he had commanded. As parents, Paul and Krista realize that having their daughter baptized would be pointless if after Lena was baptized, she was never taught the Christian faith, nor ever raised to rely on the promises that God is making to her in baptism. And so this is why I know that after her baptism, Paul and Krista will be diligent in training her in the Christian faith. They will spend lots of time with Lena, teaching her to live out her baptismal faith in Christ. They will read Lena Bible stories. They will take her to church. They will catechize her. They will pray with her and for her, and they will be Christian role models for their daughter. And Lena will joyously spend the rest of her life learning what it means to be a baptized child of God. My friends in Christ, this is not only true for my granddaughter, this is true for you. Baptism now saves you, not by some external action like removing dirt from the body, but by the appeal to God for a good conscience through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In our epistle lesson for today, it says so clearly that baptism now saves you. And yet so many Christians struggle to believe this. Their reasoning is usually that they know someone who was baptized as an infant who later fell away from the Christian faith. They offer this example as anecdotal evidence, proof that since baptism obviously did not save that person, that baptism cannot save any person. But my friends, this would be like concluding that a boat was not seaworthy because someone intentionally jumped off of that boat and drowned. It does not logically follow that a boat is unreliable and that it cannot keep people afloat just because someone jumps off of the boat and drowns. Nor is it reliable evidence to say that baptism doesn't save simply because we know someone who was once baptized but later abandoned ship, fell away from Christ and the promises that God made to them in their baptism. Now, I do agree that the mere outward action of being baptized doesn't automatically save anybody unless it is combined with faith. But this, my friends, is different than denying that baptism saves. If a person knows little about God, cares nothing about the Christian faith, but decides to be baptized anyway as life insurance, just in case the Bible is true, then baptism isn't going to save him. If that individual thinks that he can go through the motions of being baptized and be saved without faith or any spiritual follow-through, he is wrong. Because unless you understand the meaning of holy baptism and trust in its Christ-centered promises, just having the outward ritual of baptism performed upon you isn't some slam dunk. It's not some automatic sure thing that's going to keep you out of hell. However, that is not what St. Paul has in mind when he declares baptism now saves you. When Peter says this, he's not talking about some kind of empty religious ritual. For Peter and for the rest of the apostles and for Christ himself, baptism is essential. Baptism saves us because it connects us with Jesus, with his cross, and with his resurrection. Baptism allows us to appeal to God for a good conscience, knowing that the resurrected Christ loves us and is interceding now in heaven on our behalf. To be truly grateful to God for the gift of baptism, we need to know what baptism saves us from. Simply put, to be saved means that God puts you in a safe or secure place. Just as God did with Noah when Noah and his family entered the ark so that these eight persons were brought safely through the water and spared from being punished along with the rest of the world. As evil and as dangerous and as corrupt as this present world is, I frankly don't know what I would do without the comfort of baptism that God is going to give my new granddaughter, Lena, with the safety and security that it provides, like the ark itself. For just like those eight persons in Noah's family who entered the ark and were saved by water, so God is going to save my new granddaughter, Lena, along with my Ella and Adelaide and Elijah and Daniel and my unborn grandson, Jake, and all of my family through this water combined with God's word of grace. And again, not because they are better than the rest of this unbelieving world, but simply because God in his mercy has chosen to show them mercy by baptizing them into Christ, who promises to save them and set them in a safe place until they enter God's kingdom. God grant this same baptismal comfort to you and to your children and to your grandchildren as well. For baptism truly does save us. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.